We are going to continue in our series on values. Last week, what did we talk about? Values. We did. We talked about values. What was the value that we talked about? Alignment. Building alignment. Right? And we talked about how that question of, am I advancing the mission, vision, and strategy of LifeQuest Community Church? And so I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had that person that asked you, how you doing? Right? We use that phrase a lot. Right? Hey, how you doing? And most of the time we really don't mean the question, right? Because how you doing has just become a way of saying hi. Or how you doing? And you have those friends that you know you don't ask that question because why? Because they'll tell you, right? And maybe you don't want to know how they're doing. But, when we think about that question, hey, how you doing? Our typical response to that is good, right? Or I'm okay. How you turn it right back around. Let's deflect, right? Cause I don't want to tell you how I'm doing. So I will bounce it back at you, right? Like the ping pong ball. How are you doing? Or if you're Joey from Friends, how you doing? And the kids are all like, what? What did the old man say? Unless you're my kids and they've all seen Friends and Seinfeld and all those great shows. How are you doing? When you think about that question, you know, most times our response is, oh, I'm okay, I'm good. But this morning, I want us to go a little bit deeper, and I want to add to that question. So it's, how are you doing, really? How are you doing? And so when we talk about our values, values are one of those things that is kind of an invisible thing, right? Because values are kind of like our culture, and so culture is invisible. You can't really see culture, but Jesus said that the kingdom of God is near us. The kingdom of God is among us. That we are walking out right now the kingdom of God. That we're not waiting. We're waiting for his return, and we're waiting for all of those things that are going to completely change human history. But it's not just the kingdom of God is not just give your heart to Jesus and then be a good little boy or girl and not screw up so bad so that when you die, you get to go to heaven. The kingdom of God is so much more than that. That he wants to express the kingdom of God in your life right here and right now. Right? Eternal life doesn't start when we die. Eternal life started the moment that you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And so the way that we live our lives matters. And so when we have values that guide our lives, those things help give us that direction or that alignment that we talked about last week. But when I ask the question, how are you really? We don't really want to give the answer, right? Because no one wants to walk in on Sunday morning and let people know about the absolute knockdown, drag-out fight that happened in the getting people into the car, and then all the way to church as they're poking, punching, throwing names, and screaming, do I have to pull this car over? And all right, hurry up, we need to put our church faces on because we're going, you know, because I'm the pastor and you're my kids. That didn't happen today. But it has happened. It has happened. That is not how you got the scar on your forehead. Oh, Jesus, please, when will we have our children's ministry back? When we ask the question, how are you really? God bless him. There's a couple of dimensions that you can ask that question in regards to. How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing with your walk with the Lord? How are you doing with your personal connection with God? How are you doing spiritually? Maybe you're here this morning and that you have not made a decision to follow Christ yet, but are you feeling like you've got answers to life's questions? Do you feel like you have direction? We believe that those answers and that direction is found through a relationship with Jesus Christ here at LifeQuest. But how are you doing spiritually? Maybe you're doing great. Maybe you're doing fantastic and you're hearing God speak to you on a regular basis, and that's awesome. How about this? How are you doing emotionally? Right? You have those people that are you know, maybe you're constantly on this roller coaster of I'm doing great, I'm doing terrible, I'm doing great, I'm doing terrible, right? We know those people. Or we know those people that I'm like, I'm just doing terrible and I do terrible all the time, right? And then there's those manic people like Luke who's always awesome. I'm like, everything is awesome. Luke is like the Lego song. Right? Right? How are you doing emotionally? How are you doing relationally? How are you doing with your relationships? Are they going well? Are they going poorly? Do you feel maybe you don't have any relationships at all, right? I have no friends and I'm Linus and I live in my, I have my blanket and I'm happy or I'm Eeyore, right? So emotionally I'm down here and then I live in my little shack of sticks and oh boy, right? How are you doing in your relationships? Your relationship, obviously our ultimate relationship is our relationship with Christ. How are you doing in your relationship with your spouse? How are you doing in your relationship with your kids? How are you doing in your relationships with the people that you have in your life? How about this? How are you doing financially? Yeah. Ouch. Are things going well? Have you made good choices and so that things financially are doing well? Or are you hoping that by this Christmas you'll have paid off last Christmas? Right? How are you doing? So as we talk about these values, these over the next few weeks, last week we talked about building alignment that for us as a church and hopefully for you as a family and as an employee that you understand the direction that we're going as a church and that we are in alignment in advancing the vision and mission that God has called us to here at LifeQuest Community Church. You can take that same principle and apply it to your family. Where do we believe that God is leading us as a family? And do we all know that we're going in the same direction? Or is your house the house of chaos and everyone's going in a million different directions? And you can have a busy schedule and do those kinds of things and still be in alignment. That as a family, these are the things that are important to us and these are the things that we're going to do together as a family. So last week we talked about building alignment. Today we're going to talk about pursuing health. Next week we're going to talk about the value of making it happen. Am I willing to do what it takes to make sure that the job gets done? We're going to talk about, in a few weeks, battling mediocrity. We've all been to mediocre places, right? Anyone been to a mediocre restaurant? Yeah, not so much. Not so good. Anyone been to a mediocre job? Yeah. Anyone been to a mediocre church? Don't raise your hand if you think that's LifeQuest. Right? But we've been in mediocre churches. Battling mediocrity is one of those values we're going to talk about in a few weeks. That the question we're going to ask is, am I doing, am I allowing what is good to keep me from what is best? We're going to talk about choosing trust. We're going to talk about taking the low place as we wrap up this series. And so as we talk about these values are the things that are going to, I think, help us kind of frame who we are as a church. And so first, last week, we talked about we've got to be in alignment. We've got to know what direction that we're going. And we're advancing what God wants to do through LifeQuest Community Church. Today we're going to talk about pursuing health, and the question, how are you really? transitions into this question. Am I living in a way today that will help me thrive tomorrow? Am I living in a way today that will help me thrive tomorrow? Am I pursuing health in every single area of my life? So let's ask that question. Because here's the thing. God doesn't want you, because I think for a lot of us, we survive, right? But we don't thrive. We are in survival mode, maybe in multiple areas of our lives. We're in survival mode when it comes to our finances. We're in survival mode when it comes to our relationships. Maybe you're in survivor mode when it comes to your emotions, and you're just barely getting by. Maybe you're in survivor mode spiritually. So the question is, what am I doing today? Let's take the spiritually. What am I doing today that will help me thrive spiritually tomorrow? What are the practices that you have in place in your life that's helping you make that connection with God on a regular basis? Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you know, my spiritual life just seems flatlined. Like I just don't have any kind of a connection with God at all. What can you do today that will help improve that spiritual connection with God? That tomorrow you're not just surviving in your relationship with Christ, but you are thriving. What are some things that we can do that? What are some things that we can do today? Well, one of them, you're doing it, right? You're here. You made a commitment to get up and you're here and you've worshiped together with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we've celebrated the Lord's Supper together, and now we're gonna dig into God's Word. What are some other things that you can do? Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow. What's a thing that we can do so that we're not just surviving spiritually? Read God's Word. Yeah, absolutely. What else? Pray, right? What else can you do? Yeah, meditate on the Lord. Psalms talks over and over about meditating on God's Word, not just reading it and not just praying, but taking His Word and praying His Word and saying, okay, God, what is it about this that you want to get in to me? Yeah, that's good. What else? Yeah, fellowship, right? Making that connection outside of Sunday morning, that you're getting together with someone else who can you can genuinely ask the question, how are you doing, and not be afraid of the answer or not being afraid of what they will do with your response, right? Because you have to be careful sometimes with if someone asks you how you're doing, you have to know that you can trust that person if you're going to share how you're really doing. Yeah, those are good. Awesome. What does God want you to do emotionally? Maybe you're that person that's always down. Maybe you're that person who is roller coastering and you're up today, but you're going to be down tomorrow. What are some things that we can do to today emotionally to help you thrive tomorrow? What could you do? Set goals. Yeah. What else? Yeah. So have a journal and kind of write out, this is how I'm feeling today, and this is how I'm feeling today, and then see, okay, I recognize that maybe at these times of the year, I know I'm heading into a low spot, right? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Pray. Read God's Word. Get connected with other people so that when you feel like you're recognize being able to say, you know what, I know I'm heading into a season where I'm going to start nosediving. Help me keep from nosediving, right? Putting people around. You know, I think sometimes we're afraid of those people that are professional counselors, right? That, oh my goodness, I can't go to counseling. Or if I do go to counseling, I can't let anyone know, right? Because there's something wrong with that person. There is nothing wrong with going to a counselor And if that is something that you need, and there's a difference between pastoral counseling and professional licensed counseling. When you come in to meet with Terry and I, we will instruct you on how we believe God's word can impact your life in the way that will help you mentally, physically, and spiritually. But I am not a professional counselor. And there are things that are in people's lives that I am the first one to admit you need to go talk to a professional, and not be ashamed of that. Everyone should see a counselor at some point in their lives. Terry and I have been to see counselors multiple times because there are times that you need someone that you can talk to, that you can trust, that is going to keep it safe, that's going to give you a direction or a path that's going to help you not just survive but thrive tomorrow, right? So the big question at our house, sometimes Terry and I will have a discussion about a certain topic that's really frustrating for her or she's or for me. And so my question to Terry is, well, when are you going to go talk to Bill? Right, because there's a professional counselor in Spencerport, Bill Baxter, that we highly recommend. And so it's like when we get to that point where I'm like, I don't have any answers for you. I can pray for you as your husband. I love you. But you really need to call Bill. That's not a cop out. That's not I don't want to listen to you anymore. That's you need to talk to someone who can help you because I can't. And that's okay. How are you doing emotionally? How are you doing relationally? How are you doing in your relationship, those most important relationships? For those of us that are married, how are you doing in your relationship with your spouse? Really? Right? Maybe you're doing great, and that's awesome. I will never, ever, ever forget a few years ago, back in the beginning of LifeQuest, we did a marriage small group, and Ed and Marcia Chambry hosted. And there was kind of built into our time this opportunity after we watched the video and we discussed the book and we discussed the questions for the couples, for husbands and wives to get together and pray together as a couple. So we were all in the same room, but each couple was kind of praying together. And I can't tell you the impact that it had watching Ed and Marcia praying for each other. It was like, it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. Just the genuineness and they are like this amazing love story. And I know life hasn't been perfect for them, but they have been committed and faithful to each other. I mean, it seems like forever. How long have you guys been married? 53 years. Yeah. You don't hear those stories anymore, right? Because everything is about who's divorced next and who's about to be divorced, right? That's like every magazine in the aisle at the grocery store is who's divorced and who's about to be divorced. How are you doing relationally? Maybe you're not married yet and you have you've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. How is that relationship impacting your other relationships? Is it helping your other relationships? Is it hurting your other relationships? I know when I was in high school, my relationships did not help. They were destructive relationships, but selfishly they gave me what I wanted as a brain-damaged teenager, regardless of the impact that it had on my family, right? Are your relationships helping you today thrive tomorrow? How are you doing financially? Right? Are you saving? And it's not just saving, but how are you doing so that you can be generous with the resources that God has given you? Right? So many times we think about what I would do if I won the Powerball, right? Which was like somebody won last week, right? And everyone's thinking about what would I do if I, you know, one of the songs that we love to listen to in the car, I have on my phone is if I had $1 million, right? What would I do if I had $1 million? and I'd buy you a house, and I'd buy you a K car, a nice reliable automobile. And I wouldn't buy you a dress because that's cruel, or however the song goes. Oh, a fur coat because that's mean or that's cruel. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I remember when we were in Ohio, there was one of the pastors on staff. He posed this question. He said, "What would you do if God gave you $1 million?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. We would build a youth center, and we would pay off the mortgage, and we would pay off all our school debts, and we would do all of these things. And, you know, I would have the most amazing computer, and, like, you know, we would have all of this stuff." And Pastor Dennis said, "But what if God gave you $1 million so that you could give it all away? What if that $1 million wasn't for you?" Right? When we think about how are we doing financially, we are so trapped in this cycle of we're hoping that by this Christmas we'll have paid off Christmas of 3 years ago. And we have no capacity for generosity because literally we're just surviving financially. What can we be doing today so that we can thrive financially tomorrow? So let's jump into God's word. Where does this take us? And so obviously, when we're talking about pursuing health, you think Leviticus, right? No, absolutely, right? I think Leviticus. No, Leviticus is that book that, like, even when you're reading through the Bible in a year, you hit Leviticus and you're just like, "Oh, Lord Jesus, how long is it going to take me to get through Leviticus?" And I used to always think that. And until this year, when I read through Leviticus, it was like, holy cow, there's some amazing stuff in Leviticus, not just about how many bulls to do this and how many goats to do that. But if you've got your Bibles, turn to Leviticus chapter 25. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. So this is God's instruction to Moses as they are preparing to leave the wilderness. So they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And now they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. And God's giving them some instruction. And so he's trying to help them set up some habits so that when they get into the promised land, they are going to be able to live the way God designed them to live. It's kind of like God's going to give them some instruction, but he recognizes you're not going to like the instructions, right? I know the Maldonados aren't here this morning because they're still on their way back from vacation, but Ashley has a personal trainer who has helped her drop an amazing amount of weight, and she is actively pursuing health. But there are times when her personal trainer tells her to do things that she does not want to do, right? And so this is kind of like that God is giving them these instructions. And so in Leviticus chapter 25, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "While Moses was on Mount Sinai," what happened on Mount Sinai previously? 10 commandments, right? This is where God meets with Moses and gives them instructions for life. So he's while he's on Mount Sinai, the Lord says, "Give people the following instructions. Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you have entered into the land I am giving you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath rest before the Lord every seventh year. For 6 years you can plant your fields and prune your vineyards and harvest your crops. But during the seventh year, the land must have a Sabbath rest, a year of complete rest. It is the Lord's Sabbath. Do not plant your fields or prune your vineyards during that year. Don't store away crops that grow on their own or gather the grapes from your unpruned vines. The land that you have, it must have a year of complete rest, but you may eat whatever the land produces on its own during the Sabbath. This applies to you, your male and female servants, your hired workers, your temporary residents who live with you, your livestock, and the wild animals in your land will also be allowed to eat what the land produces." And he says, "In addition, you must count off seven Sabbath years, seven sets of 7 years, adding up to 49 years in all. And then on the Day of Atonement, that's the day when everything gets made right with between them and God, in the 50th year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan. The 50th year will be a jubilee to you. And during that year, you must not plant your fields or store any of your crops that grow on their own. And don't gather grapes from your unpruned vines. It will be a jubilee year for you, and you must keep it holy. But you may eat whatever the land produces on its own. In the year of jubilee, each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors. So Moses goes up to the mountain, and the first batch of instructions he gets are the 10 suggestions. Oh, the 10 commandments. Do these things. Do not do these things, right? One of the things that he said to them was, every seventh day, you need to take a break. You deserve a break every seventh day. Even God said on the seventh day, I'm going to rest as an example to you. Doesn't mean that God was tired after creating and doing all of what he did on days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. He didn't need a nap on the seventh day. He was setting an example that on the seventh day, you rest. Now, we look at that commandment to honor the Sabbath and make it holy as there's the 9 commandments and the 1 suggestion, right? Because we don't want to stop, or we don't feel like we can stop. So every seventh day, we're supposed to take a day off. And then now God's giving them more instruction. He's telling them every seventh year, take a whole year off. How does that work? How do you take a whole year off? Right? How do you take a whole year off? And then not only that, every seventh year, everything that you own goes back to whoever owned it back then. Now, those of us that are entrepreneurs, we're like, yeah, God, that's great. But there's no way I'm giving up all of my stuff or my house or my land. And probably they were thinking the exact same thing, right? Probably even thinking, God, how in the world is this going to work? Because if we don't gather food, we're all going to starve. If we're all just laying around in our hammocks for an entire year, which I would love, right? But God says every seventh year there's going to be a rest. And what he says to them is, look, I get that you're going to be, that you're concerned about how are we going to eat. But he says that there will be food left over from the year before. You can still eat that. There will be food that naturally grows out of the ground. You can eat that too. And I don't know, there's not that many people anymore. We have a few families that have agriculture in their backgrounds, right? But there's that concept of fallow ground, that you have to let the land rest. That if you just, they think that that's probably one of the reasons why the Great Depression happened, is that they farmed and farmed and farmed and farmed and farmed, and they literally stripped the ground of all of its nutrients, and then there was a shift in the climate, and things got dry, and the land couldn't recuperate from it, and it literally laid waste to North America, Canada, all the way down to Mexico. Because we didn't give the land a rest. So we have to make space in our lives to allow for rest. And we've been talking about this, and I don't know why it is that God keeps bringing this up for us. And maybe it's because, you know, sometimes we hear a message and we're like, oh, that's a great message. Well, we don't do it. And so maybe this message here again is for you to take a breath and take a rest. That we have to have a rhythm of life that's sustainable, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and financially. So God is telling them, and what's interesting is that many Old Testament scholars actually believe that this whole idea of a jubilee never happened, that the Israelite nation didn't do it. God gave them this instruction, if you will do this, your lives will be blessed. If you will be obedient to these instructions, you will see the blessing of God. And how do we know that they never did? Well, it's interesting. If you look in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, for those of you that have been reading through the Bible chronologically this year, we've just gotten through the book of Jeremiah and the God's consistent warning and promise of judgment that if you don't turn things around, I am going to lay waste to this country and you're all going to be sent off as captives to Babylon and Assyria and all over the place. And Israel was like, yeah, we'll take our chances. And God said, okay, you're done. And so the Babylonians have come in and they have wiped out the nation of Israel. They're already gone. They're already scattered into captivity. And now it's just the small little kingdom of Judah that's left and in the city of Jerusalem. And now Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon has come and he has wiped out the kingdom of Judah. And it says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Let me get there. It's interesting because God tells them, in verse 21, it says, so the message of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah was fulfilled, and the land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest, lying desolate until the 70 years were fulfilled. So the entire nation of Israel had been given these instructions by Moses, and they've been doing their thing year in and year out and year in and year out and still not listening to God. Well, here's the thing that's interesting is that if you don't take the Sabbath takes you. You will get burnt out. You will fry. And God says, look, if you're not going to obey me, the land's going to get a Sabbath. And so he's going to take it one way or another. Maybe you're here this morning and you're living at that unsustainable pace. If you're living in an unsustainable pace, eventually it's going to take you to an unsustainable place where you just can't get past where you're at and you're stuck. Because God wants us to recognize that we've got to honor his word. And so if we're going to pursue health, we have to be willing to ask the question, how are you doing? How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing emotionally? How are you doing relationally? How are you doing financially? And what am I doing today that's going to help me thrive tomorrow? And so for us as a church, what are we doing today that's going to help us as a church thrive tomorrow? Hopefully that's because our church is filled with healthy people who have their priorities right, who are focused on what God has for them as individuals and as families. And then as we're living out of that abundance that God wants for us spiritually and emotionally and relationally and financially, then we can be the blessing that he's called us to be in your neighborhoods and in this community. So before we wrap up, I just want to share a couple of things. How do we do this? How do we start this? How do we start pursuing health? I want to encourage you to do a couple of things, three of them. Number one, make more deposits than withdrawals in all of those areas, right? There's so many times spiritually where we're constantly withdrawing. We're constantly, God, give me, give me, give me. I need, I need, I need. We're like spiritual Bob Wileys from What About Bob? Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need, I need, I need. I want, I want. If you've never seen the movie What About Bob, you won't get it. Go watch it. You'll understand. They don't watch TV as much. I'm not really sure how God led them to us, but we'll help. We'll fix them. If you're constantly saying, God, I need, and you're not spending any time developing that relationship with God, God, I just want to know you. God, I just want to be with you, putting deposits spiritually into your own life. How about emotionally? What are you doing to ensure that you're going to be emotionally healthy? Maybe that's having that conversation with someone. Look, I need help. Maybe that's going and talking to someone professional, saying, look, I feel like I am losing control. I need someone to help give me some guidance and some direction. What are you doing to put deposits into your life relationally? Whether that's with your spouse, maybe that's with your parents. That what are you doing to develop and invest in that relationship with your parents or with your kids? Make more deposits than withdrawals. Obviously, that makes more sense when we talk about finances, right? That if we are making more deposits than we are making withdrawals, that's good. There will be health financially. It's okay to invest in yourself spiritually and emotionally and relationally. The second thing is this. Don't just manage your time. Manage your energy. Now, I know that may kind of sound strange, but here's what I mean by that. Not every hour is created equally in a day. There are times of the day where you are better than you are at other times of the day. So those of us that are morning people, we are best in the morning. For me, I love getting up early and getting things done before the house gets moving. It's when my kids don't understand it, but I know I'm weird. But I am best from about 5 in the morning until about 10. And that time is when I am the most creative, when I'm the most productive. And I recognize that in the afternoons, I'm not so much sitting in a meeting or trying to, respond to emails. I'm just nodding. I'm not doing well. And I'm not a night owl. By 9, 10 o'clock, ding, put a fork in me. I'm done. But there are others here this morning that you're best later at night. Right? You can go all night long, but please don't come and bang on a hammer on my apartment at 8 o'clock in the morning. Sorry, guys. That did happen. That's a thing. There were multiple things. There were drills and hammers and hopefully no bad words. The bad words were coming from your side of the wall. They were not my bad words. I was in the bathroom at the youth center, cause we installed a door for the closet, and then I was installing shelves in the closet. And, the closet is only 19 inches wide by about, 24, 26 inches deep. And so imagine crammed into that space with a level and a board and a drill and a screw in your mouth, trying to make sure that the shelves are going in. It was crazy without an extra set of hands. But I don't know if I even had an extra set of hands that would not, like, Luke came in and he was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm putting in shelves. Do you need help? I'm like, I don't really know how you would even fit. Or maybe you said that. And he's like, good luck. I'm going for a run. Just get out of the noise. Recognize where your energy is at its best and leave your most important tasks for that time when you are at your best. And now that sometimes when we talk about work, that can be hard, right? Because if I am a night owl and my job is during the day when I am a zombie, How do I make that best? Well, you've got to figure that out. Coffee, find ways to stay focused so that you can give your best at work. Or maybe this happens to you. I don't know if this happens to you. I know that this has happened at our house, that you have gone to work and you have given all of your energy at work, and then you walk in the door at the end of the day and you have nothing left in the tank to give to your wife or to your kids. I want to encourage you, and this is, I'm saying this to myself as much as I'm saying it to you, leave some energy in your tank for the most important people in your life. And I'll just leave that there. And the third thing, I think is something that's been really helpful to me. I've not been as great at it lately just because of all the things that are happening. But I want to encourage you to do something. It's called a fixed calendar. And the way a fixed calendar works is you set a blank calendar down in front of you, whether it's a paper calendar or an electronic calendar, and you walk through, these are the things that are the most important things in my life. And those things go in the calendar. Because if we don't do that, you'll get someone say, hey, what are you doing on Thursday night? And you look at the calendar and there's nothing on the calendar. You're like, oh, nothing. And then you end up with your calendar full of all these things that are, maybe they're good, maybe they're okay, but they're not best. So start with work. Oh, actually, don't start with work, but that's a lot of times where we do start, right? Because we all have a work schedule that is 40 plus hours a week, right? We have to make a living. And so work goes in there, whether that's trick work or shift work or whatever. You've got that block that you can't do anything else because you're at work. The next thing that I think it really should be the first thing is this is your time with God. That you block out in your calendar, this is my time with God. That's my most important relationship in my life. And so if something comes up and it bounces up that's going to interrupt with that time, like, it's easy to be able to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that because I already have that slot scheduled. This is my time that I have with God. For me, it's first thing in the morning, where I'm reading my Bible and asking God, fill me up at the start of your day. Again, if your peak time is not mornings, then don't do that in the morning. If you're bleary-eyed, muscling your way through a Bible reading plan or something in the morning just so that you can say you read your Bible in the morning, and when you're done, you can't remember a thing that you read, you have not had a profitable encounter with God, right? You just read a book. I want to encourage you, find that time that you are at your best and say, God, this is my time with you. Now, again, another thing that's really important, I believe, is blocking out time for your family to grow spiritually, and that's being right here at church on Sunday morning. Unfortunately, we live in a culture now where there are all kinds of options, and church is just one of the options. We've told this story a million times that growing up in our family, church was not an option, right? If you were sick, you don't stay home from church. You go to church, pastor prays for you, God will heal you. And staying home from church because you were sick was just not an option. But now, you know, things come before church. But if you as a family say this is a priority, that we are going to grow together spiritually as a family, this block of time on Sunday mornings, nothing interferes with it because we are going to be in God's house. Then block out time for your family. First, I want to encourage you, if you're married, block out a time to have a date with your spouse. Now, you would think, well, that you just do that while you're dating, right? No, we have to continuously work on, build, encourage, feed that relationship, the most important relationship outside of our relationship with God, that relationship with our spouse. For my wife and I, it's Friday. We go out for lunch every Friday, and we guard that ferociously. If it can't happen, we shift it to another time on Friday, but blocking out that time so that when something else pops in, that tries to take away from your relationship, you're like, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I've got something in my calendar already. Your relationship with your wife, and then your relationship with your kids, blocking out time. And then finally, maybe that's on Sunday afternoons, block out the chunk to say, this is the time for me to rest and refuel, to find whatever that is. Maybe that's where you take your nap. Unless you're my dad and it's 3 o'clock, and then you nap every day, right? That's he's blocked that out. You know, it's 3 o'clock, dad's taking a nap. Whether we're camping or we're on vacation or we're home, right? Because you have to invest in yourself. The things that you're doing, what are you doing today so that you can thrive tomorrow. Prioritize, predetermine what's important. We have the opportunity to build into our lives those things that are most important. If we're going to be a people, if we're going to be a church that pursues health, that we're going to be obedient to God's command, that we're going to rest, we've got to be intentional about that. Question for you this morning. Am I doing today that thing that will help me thrive tomorrow? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your principles of Sabbath and rest. Father, not the suggestion of Sabbath, not the suggestion of rest, but the commandment to rest. Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to be intentional about the values that we hold here at LifeQuest and in our marriages and in our families. Father, you would help us to be people that are in alignment with you and with each other, and that you would help us to be people that pursue health mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Blessings. Have a great week. Again, we're going to be at the gate tomorrow night, working on drywall and other things. If you can come tomorrow.